Today is Wednesday, December the 21st, 21st day of the month of Kislev. This is the women's Chumashir. We're up to Bereshit Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Chet. Okay, Rabotai. We read last week Pasuk Zayin, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avram and said, L'zaracha etene ta'aretz hazot, v'yiven shel mizbeach l'Hashem hanireh elav. I have two he'arot, two comments on that particular pasuk before we move on. Number one, the Or HaChaim points out, as others have pointed out, against Rashi. Rashi on Pasuk Zion claims that Avraham built his Mizbeach to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Bisurat HaZera veBisurat HaAretz, the good tiding that you will receive the land and that you will be multiplying and having children. That's what Rashi said. It probably is the simple pshat. Because it follows exactly after HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, L'zaracha etena ta'aretz hazot. However, others said, if you remember correctly, that the reason why he builds a Mizbeach is based on the last phrase of the Pasuk. Not Vayiven Mizbeach, Vayikra B'Shem, but Lashem Hanir'eh Elav. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what? For the opportunity to what? To experience seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Or HaChaim adopts that particular position almost to the exclusion of Rashi. That's the only reason why Avram builds the Mizbeach, and he cites a pasuk which you might be familiar with. It's often recited at a Levaya, chapter 16 of Tehillim of the Psalms, Michtam LeDavid. It's the last phrase where the pasuk says, Sova smachot et panecha. Sova smachot et panecha. Literally, we tell the Avel by reciting this that we hope that from here on in, your face, your family, you will experience nothing but satiated with smachot. That's why we recite that. It's in effect a hope and a prayer. But Or HaChaim uses that particular pasuk for confirming his position. That why does Avram offer a korban? Because sova smachot et panecha. Talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is my greatest source of joy? What's my greatest source of joy? When I have an opportunity to see your face. To see your face. That's the greatest source of joy. And one can understand why this is what he says. We don't recommend anybody emulate this holy Tana's position. His name is Ben Azai. Ben Azai was an outstanding scholar who never got married. And he said, "Why don't you get married?" He said, "Chashka nafshi batorah." I'm madly in love with Torah. I have no time for anybody else. And it's a position we reject thoroughly. But it expressed a certain attitude of his in his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Or HaChaim cites that, again, to support his position that Avram's building of the Mizbeach is Lashem Hanir'eh Elav. The encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what he's thanking him for. And as I said last week, we should consider it a privilege that we have that opportunity three times a day. Not necessarily to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but certainly to stand in his presence whenever we're ready. Whenever we're ready. Not when he's ready. Whenever we're ready. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to listen. And that's a unique privilege that Am Yisrael has to experience. Furthermore, take a look at the Ramban's comment on page number 2. No, it starts on the, excuse me, on the bottom of page number one. On the right hand side, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. That's in this pasuk. We'll read the next pasuk and see the Ramban, how he expands upon that. Vayatek Misham Hahara. Vayatek. And he removed Misham Hahara. Pasuk Chet. Sorry. We're going to have to read the pasuk first. Vayatek Misham Hahara. I'm translating it literally and I'm waiting for a question. Vayatek. He moved from there to the mountain. That's what it says. Vayatek Misham Hahara. No, we know where it is. We know where he is. He is in Shechem, Elon Moreh. That we know. So what's the difficulty? Excellent question. Vayelech. Vayikach Avra. Vayikach is often an expression that is used to indicate people moving. We had it twice already in this parsha. Vayikach Avram et Sarai Ishto, right? Or that they went. Vayelech, right? Vayetze Yaakov Meber Shava. Vayelech Charana. Vayetze Misham. Vayatek normally doesn't refer to a human. Doesn't refer to a person. Okay, that's what Rashi's going to say. That's what Rashi's going to say. He's not going to be the only one to pipe in. We're just trying to sense the difficulty. As I told you 6,000 times, no Parshan says anything unless there is a difficulty in the text. If there are no difficulties and it's perfectly understood, nobody says anything. Not Rashi, the Ramban. They're always reacting to something in the text. Here what they will react to is that the word vayatek is never used in the context of locomotion of a person.
What does it mean?
We'll see. It means to move.
It does mean to move.
Yes, it does. Correct. It's an unusual phrase. And where does he go? Mikedem lebeit el, east of Beit El. Vayet ohalo, and he pitches his tent. Beit El miyam v'ha'ay mikedem. He pitches his tent somewhere in between Beit El and Ai. Beit El is to his west, Ai is to his east. Vayiven sham mizbeach l'Hashem, vayikra b'shem Hashem. Builds nacham mizbeach, and he proclaims in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's take a look at Rashi first, as we always do. And Rashi just puts in one simple word to answer Liora's question. Vayatek Misham Ahalo. It means that he moved his tent. That is appropriate, because moving a tent is occasionally identified as atik, moving under those circumstances. And how do I know that Vayatek means to move? Because I take a look at Targum Istalek, which means to move.
Himself.
That no, it means that's correct. It might be. He moved him, and it actually means Istalek means it was moved.
He moved himself.
It's like his reflection.
Right?
Who lost Silek? Who Istalek? He moved himself.
That's very possible, but the word atik is never used by in the Chumash. That's Targum Onkelos.
Right, Onkelos.
Correct. So that's why Rashi says what he says, Vayatek Misham. We'll see others in a moment. Mikedem lebeit el, bimizracha shel beit el, east of beit el. Nimtzeit, as a result, if beit el is to his... if he is east of Beit El, Nimsa Beit El b'Ma'aravo, then Beit El is to his west. For who Shinemar, that's what is confirmed, Beit El miyam v'ay mikedem. Continues Rashi, Ohalo. Look how Rashi set this up. In his caption, he did not write the word appropriately. How does the caption read, the caption of the Rashi, Ohalo? Aleph, Hey, Lamed.
Hey.
Oh, in my Chumash it says Lamed Vav. Lamed Vav. Now, it does not say, it does not say in the Chumash with a vav. Rashi now comments, ahalo ksiv. Good. So why did Rashi do this? Because normally Rashi in his caption quotes the text directly. But here, he wanted to show you how unusual the word is. So how does he show you how unusual the word is? In effect, what should it have been written in order to indicate his tent? A hello with a vav. You never write a hello with a hey at the end. So in effect, how is Rashi reinterpreting the word ahalo? If there were no such thing as vowel sounds, and you open up a Sefer Torah, how could you possibly read it? Ahala, her tent, says Rashi. Now Rashi comments based on this. He really believes that this is correct. Nata et ohel ishto v'achakach et shelo. He first pitched what? His wife's tent, and then his. Based on the fact that even though the masoret, the tradition is that we read it ahalo, and ahalo is translated as his tent, the kri, the reading of something, is always what? Is always, is as if it would, that's the kri, but the ksiv is what?
With a hey.
With a hey, so it should be ahalo. So therefore the Midrash says he pitched her tent first. What is prompting the Midrash to tell us this? The Gemara in Masechet Ketubot tells us, you'll like this for a change, that a husband is obligated to honor his wife more than he should honor himself. What? I said you like it. Husband is obligated, and part of that honor is reflected that if there are certain needs or certain opportunities in which both of them are going to be involved in, he should take care of her before himself.
Kind of like with a slave, right?
With what?
With a slave.
Yeah, slave.
Yes, I did say that, but I don't want to bring... That's not what I had in mind.
Maybe it's setting us up for the next paragraph, and worrying about it again.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's why, even though there is some debate about this, I'm not telling you what your husband should do, but I'm just telling you what I do. Kiddush and Hamotzi. Right? So you make Kiddush. My wife typically doesn't make Kiddush. I make Kiddush. So everybody wants to drink. So if it's just the two of us, you know, who do I give first? Do I give her first before I drink? Or do I drink myself and then I give her, like some people do? Or you cut the challah. So some people, before they will start giving to anybody else, what do? Take a little piece themselves. Not... Since the Gemara says, and I don't need a Gemara to tell me that, but the Gemara does say it, that you should be mechabed your wife more than yourself. So therefore, it's a practice in certain homes that the husband, before he even feeds himself, he gives his wife a piece of challah and a thing. And that's what Rashi is based on, that he pitches her tent before his tent. Kacha Omer Rashi. But then Rashi offers one last comment, which is which the Rav commented on. Vayiven sham mizbeach nit nabe. Avraham had a prophecy. She asidin banav lehi koshel sham, that their his great great grandchildren are going to stumble at this location. Between I and Beit El, al avon achan vehit palel sham alehem, and he prayed on their behalf. That's what Rashi claims. What happened with Achan? Correct. He took from the shalal. Yehoshua, upon conquest of the land, made an oath unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu that all of the shalal, the booty that he has from the capture of certain cities, would be cherem, cherem lashem, dedicated to God. And Achan couldn't control himself and decided to take some of the booty, and as a result, when they lost, that's the only battle in which Yehoshua actually was thoroughly defeated at Ai because of this particular Aveira. And the Rav once asked the question, commenting on this comment of Rashi, why is it that all of Am Yisrael were punished, and all of Am Yisrael were punished because they suffered a lot of casualties during that war, simply on account of the transgression of Achan? One dude who decided to take of the booty, that's cause for all of Am Yisrael now to suffer at the hand, at the defeat, at the hands of the enemy? And he said the following. There is a pasuk, in fact it's a whole perek, in Sefer Dvarim, in Parshat Ki Tavo. Please open up to Dvarim, chapter 26, I believe it is. 26 or 27. The episode of Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Which is that, 26 or 27? It's 27. Perek Chazan. Beginning with Pasuk Yudal. It actually starts Pasuk Dalet, and then it goes Eilu Yabdu Levarech Et Am Har Gerizim, Bavrachem Et Hayadein. Six nations, six tribes on Har Gerizim, and six tribes on Har Eval. Now, many people, and what the Torah says is happening here, is the establishment of another covenant. As it says in the Psukim, Le'avrechem Bivrit. There is a covenant that takes place. That phrase appears at the beginning of Parshat Nitzavim as well. Le'avrecha Bivrit Hashem Elokecha. There was a covenant established. And the question is, why was it necessary to engage in the establishment of another covenant when there was already a covenant binding and mandatory upon each and every one of us? What do we call that Brit? Brit? No, that's Avram's personal Brit. The Brit Sinai, correct. This is the Brit Avot, is Bein Absarim. But what binds all of us? Brit Sinai, the covenant that we made. So what do we need another one for? So there are two answers. One answer is because the covenant at Sinai did not include Eretz Yisrael. Nowhere during the Aseret HaDibrot is there any reference, remez, anything that there is a contingency between Shmirat HaMitzvot and Eretz Yisrael. And that's done deliberately. You know why it's done deliberately? Because the Torah does not hinge upon Eretz Yisrael. There is an obligation to observe mitzvot, you know, even in Chutz La'aretz. Even though I know the Ramban very well, in Parshat Ekev, where the Ramban comments on the phrase which we recite in the Shema, Va'avadetem mehera me'al haaretz hatova, says the Ramban, quoting a Sifri, and he repeats it, actually states it the first time, in Parshat Achrei Mot, Vayikra chapter 18, that the only reason why we observe mitzvot in Chutz La'aretz is not to forget them, for training. So that when we get to Medinat Yisrael, we know how to observe mitzvot. I didn't say that. The Ramban said it. And people have challenged her. How can he say such a thing? That's the only reason for 2,000 years we've observed mitzvot in Chutz La'aretz just when there is anticipating the Geula, when we experience Reishit Tzmichat Geulateinu. That's it. It's hard, but the Ramban does say it. So there is no formal tie that there is a connection between Shmirat HaMitzvot and the opportunity to what? To hold and control Israel politically and militarily. That was added when they crossed the Yarden, they came to Har Grizim and Har Eval. That's the next Kritut Brit. That the entry and settlement of Israel hinges upon what? Baruch Asher Yakim et Divrei HaTorah Hazot. That's the 11th of the command. And Arur, cursed shall be Asher Lo Yakim et Divrei HaTorah Hazot, who will not observe this Torah. So the observance of Torah is now linked with what? With entry and Gerush, divorce from Eretz Yisrael. That's one interpretation. Then there is a second interpretation. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells us that Har Grizim and Har Eval was responsible for a particular halachic concept. It's called Arevut. Maze Arevut? Responsibility. That the very famous phrase that everybody knows. Kol Yisrael Arevin Zeloze. Now this is a serious halachic principle. What does an arev do in the context of a loan?
He's a guarantor.
He's a guarantor. He's a co-signer. So if the borrower defaults on the loan, the lender has a right to collect his debt from the co-signer. In fact, according to one opinion in the Gemara, he can go straight to the co-signer. Doesn't have to go to the lender, to the borrower. It's unbelievable. That's how powerfully, how much the cosigner, the arev, is invested. From a halachic standpoint, we now say that I have an obligation to make sure that not only do I fulfill my mitzvah myself, but I make sure that you fulfill your mitzvah as well. That you fulfill your mitzvah. I'll give you the simplest illustration. It comes Purim. Okay? I read the Megillah already. I read the Megillah. But you have not heard the Megillah. You heard the Megillah already, and I haven't heard the Megillah yet. And I don't know how to read. So now, can you read the Megillah for me, or can I read the Megillah for you? Yes. What do you mean? In order to discharge someone's obligation, you have to be obligated in the mitzvah. Obligated. Why can a minor not read for me or for you? Because they're not obligated. But if I already did the mitzvah, why can I do the mitzvah for somebody else? I'm not obligated. The answer is, I am obligated. Why am I still obligated? Because as long as there is a Jew in this world who has not yet heard the Megillah, I am obligated to observe it. That's the principle of Arevut. And therefore I am considered Mechuyav B'davar. Where did Am Yisrael accept this Arevut? At Har Grizim and Har Eval. All 12 tribes facing each other. In effect, the facing each other is saying, I'm responsible for you, you're responsible for us. Tell me how the Rav applies this to what happened with Achan. To what happened with Achan.
They should have made sure.
Correct. Apparently, it was widely circulated within the camp of Israel that Achan had violated Yoshua's pledge. And not one person lifted their hand and what?
Stopped.
Not one. In fact, claims the Rav, most Parshanim disagree with Rashi and claim that Avraham stopping at this location has nothing to do with this particular event that will take place. You know why they disagree with him? Because they believe Avraham deliberately did not pray for the Jews at that time, because he knew that they were guilty as charged. And I have nothing to say in their defense. Nothing to say in their defense. They stood around like a bunch of lemmicles while Achan violated the pledge of Yehoshua. I am not going to raise my voice to God on their behalf.
So why did they need the go-roll to find out who did it if so many people knew?
That's an excellent question. I don't know.
Because nobody was admitting it.
Okay, yeah, but yeah, that's possible.
What did Achan take? Was it Kohen Gadol stuff or something?
What?
Achan took something from the Kohen Gadol.
That what?
What Achan actually
sold. I don't remember. I don't remember. Like I said, I'm an Amoritz and Tanakh. Yes.
If Arevut is based we've done the bracha and klala at our prelim.
Yes.
Does it apply to mitzvot lo ta'aseh, just like to mitzvot ta'aseh?
Yes, it does. 100%. If I see you engaged in transgression, my not to beat you over the head, but I have a responsibility to tell you, you know, this is biblically prohibited. You're not allowed to do this. I have a responsibility. Yes. Yes, 100%. Yeah. So this is all Rashi's read, why he built the Mizbeach, what and... what does he do? Shasira vehit palel shom aleihem. That's a midrash, but as I said, most parshanim disagree, and I told you why the Rav said that they disagree. Let's take a look at the Ramban as he comments. What? Yes. It's slain by Yaakov. That's correct. That's correct.
It's very confusing. The name was, and then it was renamed.
Yeah, V'ulam Luz Shem Ha'ir L'Rishona. He called it Beit El, but it used to be called Luz.
But here it's Beit El.
I know. That's right, because of what's going to happen. It's, you're right, it is confusing.
Is here Beit El on the future name?
It is.
Or is it here Beit El?
It's probably on the future name. Probably on the future name. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because Yaakov is attributed to having named it Beit El. We normally give Yaakov credit. So let's take a look at the Ramban for a moment as he comments on the bottom of page number uno, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. Pirish Unkelus, Unkelus said, Shehit Palel Shah. He prayed there. Unkelus says,
Ditzali.
We looked at it last week. Ditzali. He prayed there. Vitzali bishma dashem. Tzali, he prayed. Kimo karati shimcha Hashem mibor tachtiyot. I called the name of God, meaning I prayed to God, from the depths of the pit. V'hanachon, says the Ramban, I believe that the correct interpretation is Shiyeh korei b'kol gadol sham lifnei ha-mizbeach et shem Hashem. He was not praying. What was he screaming, proclaiming out loud? The name of God. What does that mean? Modia oto the Eluhoto Libnei, next page, page 3, on the top of the page, Libnei Adam. What Avram was doing was preaching at this Mizbeah. Not praying, preaching. What was he preaching? That there is such a thing as a monotheistic God. That's what he's preaching. Ki Be'ur Kazdim Hayomilamdam. He tried to teach the people of Ur Kasdim, Velo Avu Shamoa. They weren't interested in listening. Ve'ata kishiba ba'aretz hazot, shehuvtachba va'avarcha mivarchaka. Now that he came to this land, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that I will bless those who bless you, Hayam Abud, Avraham was trained l'lamei u'lefarsem bo Elohut, to publicize and to teach about God. The chen omar hakatuv b'Yitzchak ka'asher halach el nachal Gerar v'huftach, and he was promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he traveled to Gerar, al tirah ki itcha anochi, don't be afraid because I will be with you. Shebana mizbeach vayikra b'shem Hashem. Ki ba bimakom chadash, he came to a new locale, asher lo shamu et shimo velo ra'u et kvodo. They never heard of God and never saw his splendor, his glory. Vihigid kvodo bagoyim ha'em. And Avram tried, and Yitzchak tried to share God's glory amongst the new residents in a community which he just came to. says the Ramban, "Velo ne'emar kein b'Yaakov." We never find a parallel phrase "Vayikra b'shem Hashem" any place in the context of Yaakov. And says the Ramban, not because he didn't believe in it. Looks what he says: "Mitnei sheholid banim rabim." Kulam ovdei Hashem, v'hayta lo kehila gedola, nikra'at adat Yisrael, v'nitparsema ha'emuna bahem, v'nod'a l'cholam. Yaakov didn't have to preach. He built it. He had an army of tzivos Hashem way before the Babish came around. Tzivos Hashem. How did he have an army of Tzivos Hashem? He had 13 children who all believed in God. So wherever they traveled, any community in which they interacted, they saw and heard about, most of them, they saw the way they behaved. And that is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name and glory was spread in those communities. It wasn't necessary to get up on an altar and preach. In which case, according to the Ramban, Vayiven Sham Mizbeach does not mean that he brought korbanot on the altar. It means that the altar was his... Yeah, exactly. His box where he stood on just to attract the crowd. That's what he would do. Build a Mizbeach for that particular reason. The gam ki mimei avotav nitparsema bechol haaretz. Another reason why Yaakov didn't have to do it, because Avraham and Yitzchak already succeeded in disseminating God's name throughout Eretz Canaan. But even more importantly is his first explanation, that through behavior of your children, if a person conducts themselves in a certain fashion, it should be abundantly evident that you are committed to a certain ideology. Just the way you behave. If you act with a measure of honesty and integrity and so on and so forth, hopefully people will recognize that the Shekhinah rests upon you. And so therefore Yaakov, who had this huge audience, Avraham and Yitzchak didn't have a very huge audience who followed their traditions. They only had one kid each. For this reason, in order to go ahead, they went ahead and spread the message themselves. Now, our co-religionists always point to Father Abe as the reason why they go about proselytizing all nations. Why do Muslims have this belief, we have to make everybody a Muslim? Otherwise they threaten you, right? The Catholics certainly did it for hundreds of years. The Catholic Church, either you accept Christianity or you're dead. Not once does Am Yisrael engage in trying to convert anybody. In fact, quite the contrary. If somebody comes, we try to discourage them, how difficult it is, and so on and so forth. So although Avraham and Yitzchak engaged in this type of an activity to spread the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once it has already been established as a way of life, we no longer feel compelled to what? To engage in seeking additional recruits. Whereas, you know, Islam, they also look at the Old Testament, so does the Catholic Church also look at the Old Testament, and they will say, what do you mean? Your patriarchs all engaged in proselytizing, and we say, yeah, that's to recognize that there is one God and that's it. But beyond that, we don't engage in this type of activity that Avraham and Yitzchak did. But it's just something to note that other religions identify this as their legitimacy, why they continue to proselytize. Even though Avraham never threatened anybody with his life. He said, you don't believe in monotheism, we're going to kill you. You know, that's not the way it is today. We don't drive trucks. Anybody trying to, you know, We don't drive any trucks. Like his Tunisian Muslim did. Yeah. Good. Point number three. Take a look at page number three, which is Rabbeinu Bachya, Ibn Pekuda. Rabbeinu Bachya, on the bottom of the page. Vayatek Misham Hahara. Now, Bachya does not read Vayatek the way Rashi did Ohalo. Rashi, Bachya says, Ne'etak means, who is it referring to? It means Avram himself. Ne'etak, he was moved, or he moved, Me'oto makom shebana hamizbeach. He left the place where he already built a mizbeach. Uba el har hamoriyah. He came to Beit El, which is, what is Beit El? Ein ze ki'im Beit Elohim, v'zeh shara shamayim. That's where Yaakov was on Har HaMoriah. That's where Bachya is saying Avram is right now. Beit El, Har HaMoriah. Ubana mizbeach pamacheret. And he brings a second mizbeach, builds a second at Beit El. Lehorot, kisham atidim Yisrael lehakriv ha'olav ha'shlamim b'Beit HaMikdash. He builds a mizbeach there as a symbol that in future generations, that's going to be the locale where we will be offering korbanot. Vehitpalel shom gam kein. Not only did he what? Offer korbanot, and that's what it means, vayivan shom mizbeach. Why else would a guy build a mizbeach unless he offered korbanot? Even though it doesn't say it. So we just saw that the Ramban says he didn't build a mizbeach. He used it as a platform. That's not what Bachya says. If you build a mizbeach, what do you do on a mizbeach? You bring korbanot. But in addition, vayikra b'shem Hashem, he prayed. Why? Why did he have to pray specifically in Beit El? Because that's also a function of the Mikdash. We say this every time we say Slichot. Right before Shema Kuleinu. V'haviotim al harkotchi, v'simachtim b'veit tfilati, olotehem v'zivchem l'ratzon al mizbechi, ki beiti beit tfilah yikare l'chol ha'amim. The primary, in my humble opinion, purpose of the Beit HaMikdash is to serve as a central house of prayer. As Shlomo, in his rather lengthy prayer of tribute unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Melachim chapter 8, writes, why am I building this house? Dever ki yeh ba'aretz, shall there be a famine in the land? What do? You come to the Mikdash and you pray. Cherev yihyeh ba'aretz, there's a war. What do? Come to the Beit HaMikdash and you pray. Drought, if there's no matar, what do? You come to Beit HaMikdash. Even the Nachri, says Shlomo HaMelech, the Gentile, who needs anything, if he needs anything and wants to pray, where is he welcome to come? To the Beit HaMikdash, to Har HaBayit. So Shlomo HaMelech is the one who teaches us, even though he didn't say, Ki Beisi Beit Tfilah Yikar L'Chalamim, that was Yeshayahu, he said that, it's the Haftarah of every single fast day in the Yeshu Hashem B'Yimatzo, but Shlomo, as the builder of the Mikdash, already ordains that his Mikdash is primarily a central house of prayer. And that's why Rav Gorin, Zichrono Livracha, wanted to build a Beit Knesset on the Har HaBayit. Not to build the Beis HaMikdash. Wanted to build a Beit Knesset on the Har HaBayit, and we would all be able to pray. So at least Jews should not be the only people in the world who are not allowed to pray on the Har HaBayit. The only people. Only place in the world you're not allowed to daven. You can daven in the Kremlin. But you can't daven on the Har HaBayit. Yeah. Zeu she'omar vayiven shom mizbeach la'Hashem vayikra b'shem Hashem. Then if you want to do homework, turn over the page. I have no idea what he's talking about. I tried to figure it out. I can't figure it out. He says, Zer kol apshat be'oro. This is the pshat. On the top of the page, the second line. Va'al derech ha-kabbalah. Based on Kabbalistic literature, it is altogether some other thing. So do it for homework. Try to tell me next week. I have no clue what it's talking about. So I'm not going to bother. Whenever he starts with Kabbalah, him and the Ramban, forget about it. Forget about it. There is an interesting comment in the Midrash on the word Vayatek. Please open up to page 5. Where it says, where I bracketed it for you, he cites a pasuk in Iov, which writes, Yatsa atak mipichem. Yatsa atak mipichem. Rabbi Yehoshua de Sichnin, b'shem Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Yehoshua of Sichnin, in the name of Rabbi Levi, said, what does it mean? Divreichem, sotrin divreichem. When you engage in contradicting yourself, then you've engaged in what type of conversation? Attack. Attack with an iron. Heich mar da'at amar vayatek misham hahara. It's very much similar to the phrase vayatek misham hahara. How does this represent any contradiction in our pasuk? How does it? We'll see in a second. We'll see how he's interpreting. But he gives another illustration of what does it mean, atak. Ha-peh she'omar v'gam Yisrael lo ashaleach hu ha-peh she'omar anochi eshlach etchem ve'et tapchem. Hapesh she'omar mi Hashem asher eshma bekolo, hu hapesh she'omar vayomer Mitzrayim anusa mipnei Hashem. So he brings a couple of illustrations where Paro contradicted himself. That I understand. The first time that he quotes Paro is when Moshe asks for the first time to get Am Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And what does Paro say? Lo ashaleach. I'm not, am I crazy? I'm not sending him away. Then, what does Paro say? I'll send not only you, but what? Ve'etapchem. I'll send your children too. This is after the Makkah of Arba. So first he says, I'm not going to send. Then he says, I am going to send. That's Yetzei Atak Mipichem. When you contradict yourself, says the Medrash. That's one illustration. Or the second time he says, Paro said, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekalo. Who is your God? That what? That I should listen to him and defer to him. Later on, what does he say? What does Paro say? Anusa Mitzrayim Ki Hashem Nilcham Lahem B'Mitzrayim. I'm running, I'm going to let these guys run away. Why? Because God is waging war against Mitzrayim. Hapesha Omar lo yodati es Hashem. Paro says, I don't know who this God is. Is the very same mouth that will ultimately say after the third Makkah, excuse me, after Barad, Hashem hu hatzadik. He suddenly figured out very quickly who HaKadosh Baruch Hu was. Now, all of those examples, I understand the Medrash's application of Yatza Atak. But the first one that he quotes is ours. Vaya'atek Misham Hahara. Who would like to speculate as to how Avram is being accused of contradicting himself by this particular statement of Vaya'atek Misham Hahara? Good. And ultimately, where is he going to wind up? No, you know. Where? No, way past Yerushalayim. Where is he going to wind up in his southerly travels? Where beyond that? In Mitzrayim. God tells him to go where? El Haaretz Asher Areka. And Avram says, of course. Kashadiber Elof Hashem, I will go exactly as you have told me. And God appears to him in Eretz Canaan and says, this is the land that I have in mind. And the very next pasuk, what does it say? He starts moving. Vayatek Mishamhar. Yes, I know that at the very second when he started moving, that was not his intention to what? To wind up in Mitzrayim. And perhaps, had he decided to stay where? In Shem, it would have been a little too far to walk, to make a trip. But where was he already? He was in Beersheba already, which is much closer to Mitzrayim. Hence the famine comes, and what's the easy way out?
South.
Keep going south, exactly.
Yeah, but Beersheba's not Hahara.
Correct. That's the difficulty. That is correct, but it's proceeding south, proceeding to Yerushalayim, to Hare Yerushalayim, continuing further on. But this particular midrash is actually annoyed at Avraham, and what gives its credibility of annoyance is the selection of the word vayatek, because atak is used in Tanakh, at least in this one pasuk at Iov. Atak yatsa mipichem, and the Midrash cites several illustrations. One of them, Avraham contradicting himself. He's going to Mitzrayim after having heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is where you belong. Kashadiber elof Hashem, I'm going here. And 2 minutes later, we read, to be years, but it's 2 minutes later in our class, he's already out of here on his way to Mitzrayim. Kacha Omer Hamidrash. Kacha Omer Hamidrash. No, we don't. Times are not given to us. Dates are not given to us. And finally, the Orachayim says, he quotes another pasuk where the word vayatek is used, and I quote, I forgot to, it's also another pasuk in Iyov, vayatek sur mimkomo. Vaya'atek tsur mimkomo. Maset tsur?
Rock.
That when a person engages in certain types of inappropriate behavior, what happens to the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that locale? It leaves. It's out of here. That's what Iyov is lamenting. That we did something wrong, and as a result, vaya'atek Tsur Mimkoma. How do you think Orachayim is using it in this context? Yes, so that is correct. But he's saying that Vaya Atek, without identifying who moved, who is he implying is moving? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moving. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu moving just because Avram is moving?
Because he's not following his, he knows where he's going.
Okay, that's based on the previous.
Right.
Come up with something else.
Oh, okay.
Who remembers Rashi's opening remark on Vayetze Yaakov Miber Shava Vayelech Charana? What question does Rashi open up his comments with? Correct. Who cares? First of all, you know he was in Beersheba. And who cares why he's leaving Beersheba? The most important thing is what? Vayelech Yaakov to Haran.
It says,
Oysel Rosha. Exactly. Pana Ziva, the glory. whose glory does it really mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory, who accompanies it. Says Or HaChaim, if Avram leaves, what happens as a result? Vayatek Tzur Minkomo. The Tzur, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rock of Israel, is forced to move as well. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is always felt more exclusively, more tangibly, in the presence of a tzaddik. Pana ziva, pana hadaro. The splendor, the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gone, and that's why the Torah says, Vayetze Yaakov, to teach us that Be'er Sheva suffered a terrible hit when Yaakov left. Kacho me Rashi, that's how Or HaChaim slips in Vayatek. Who Vayatek? Minkomo. We have no idea where he's hiding, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzur Minkomo. Vayatek Misham Hahara. He had to travel with Avram because Avram's leaving didn't leave too many other people who had adopted his lifestyle, and consequently, the Shekhinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to move as well. It's a famous Gemara which says, we recite this every single Shabbat morning, in the end of Yoshev B'Seser, Imo Anochi Batzara, Achaltzeyu V'Achabdeyu, Imo Anochi Batzara, says the Gemara in Ta'anit, Kol makom shegolin Yisrael, gole shechina imahen. Wherever Am Yisrael are exiled to, the shechina is exiled as well. So the Gemara wants to use it as a source of nechama, consolation. We're never left alone. HaKadosh Baruch Himself is. But here, Or HaChaim uses it in a different sense. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu feel compelled to go to Galus? Because in Eretz Yisrael, there's no Shomrei Torah left. So if there's no Shomrei Torah, why will I, my presence is never going to be felt there? Where can I now be felt? Only in Chutz La'aretz, Imo Anochi Bitzara, Kacha Omer Ha'or HaChaim. We'll stop here, Rabotai, and move on to Avram's moving down to Mitzrayim. Next week there's a class.
Can I ask you a question? Sure. Beit El.
Yes.
Was in the Torah is always Har HaMoriah.
Yeah. Apparently.
So, what's the modern Beit El name based on?
I don't know.
I thought that was the ancient Beit El.
Apparently not. No, because the Beit El which we have is near Shechem.
Correct.
It's not Har HaMoriah. That's correct. But Chazal, that's the Chazal's understanding of Beit El. The Pasuk doesn't say that. Pasuk just identifies the places. It's to the west of Ai. That's all we know. Ai is on the east, Beit El is the west.
Ai is on the east.
Beit El miyavo Ai mikedem.
Could it still be the Beit El of modern times?
Yeah, that it probably is.
So why do the Chazal feel necessary
because,
to call that Har?
Because Yaakov said, Ma nora hamakom hazeh ein zekim Beit Elohim.
But that's not Beit.
What? No,
he called it Beit El.
That's right.
Right.
So why did he call it Beit El?
Right.
Because there, the Beit of Elohim is going to be built.
Right. So the modern Beit El
is not. It's not Har HaMoriah.
Right. No, I know it's not Har HaMoriah, but the question is,
it's not related.
That